We lost the parapsychologist in Goodwich, Dr. Evelyn Paglini, in March of this year. Boy, was she missed. She was a regular staple here on Coast to Coast, going way back to the days with Art, and then followed up with me. And was fortunate to have a chance to interview her several times. Hello, Evelyn.
Hello, and thank you for having me back.
My pleasure. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was fantastic. Lots of good food.
I love it. Do you cook or do you visit?
No, I had it cooked for me, and it was a pleasure. It was delicious.
Super. What's new with you these days?
Oh, just keeping busy and trying to learn how to slow down and say no once in a while.
That's not like you.
There's so much need out there, babe. There really is, and it seems to be escalating. I wish I could turn myself into a few more people.
Even since the last time we talked in May, Evelyn, this planet has continued to go into a topsy-turvy state. Can you feel it?
Oh, and I can only feel it. I'm seeing it, babe. I'm getting snippets of what's happening for the next couple of years, and I don't like it.
Yeah. Is it fixable?
Not all of it, no. Not at all. Mm-mm.
I want to talk about your predictions, some things like that, and then I also want to get into spells and things that you do. And my dear friend Tim Conway, who hosts the program on KFI in Los Angeles before I come on. He and I were talking about you tonight, Evelyn, and I kind of said that we'd do a good spell for him. Is that possible?
Okay, certainly, absolutely. Is there something in particular that he wants?
Yeah, he wants to win at the racetrack.
Oh, in other words, the game of chance.
Uh-huh.
What we can do is attract prosperity or money or success. But it can't be like lining up it with cards or the lottery. You can't say, I need it to come from that way. You have to just open up the door and allow it to flow towards you as long as it's money.
Okay.
See, in other words, don't limit where it's coming from.
It could come from any source for him.
That's right.
All right. We'll get ready to do that, and we'll do your little incantations and do what you do on that. But I've got to tell you, I have a lot of emails from people who want to know how you're feeling these days. What do you want to give us an update on that?
Well, my strength and my energy certainly is coming back, and I'm hoping that it will continue to do so.
You are so loved, Evelyn. And
thank you.
This vast audience, they care a lot about you over all these years, that's for sure.
Well, thank you very much, and thank the listeners of Coast to Coast, because that's what keeps me going. I've been, you know, doing it for 14 years on Coast to Coast, and there's a lot of people out there that have obtained a lot of personal power, changed their lives with learning how to do natural magic, and I like giving power to people.
Well, and you do it in such a way because, you know, I've interviewed so many people who have their own styles, but I mean you're honest, you're direct, and you just say it the way you feel it, and I like that.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Let's talk a little bit about some predictions for the coming year.
Oh, George, you're not going to be happy.
No,
I certainly wasn't.
Gosh, I wish we could.
As far as the weather is concerned, let me tell you some of my concerns. Okay, one of them is this coming flu season. I have a very deadly strain of flu that's going to hit.
Oh, boy.
And this sucker is not going to respond to the drugs. And so, therefore, there's going to be, unfortunately, I've seen in my head, honey, body bags.
Oh, my God.
Too many body bags stacked up one on top of the other. And so that's telling me that tens of thousands of people, young and old, okay, are going to lose their lives of this flu. This one it's going to really take its toll. So that's one of my biggest concerns.
Pandemic type?
Not really, but certain states are really going to notice that they have more than others. And like I said, it's indiscriminate. From children to older people to young adults makes no difference. This is a deadly strain, and it's not going to respond well, okay, to the drugs. And what I keep seeing is not only does it last long, But when it leaves, if you do not build your immune system up immediately, it comes back. And it comes back with a vengeance. And so that's why I'm so concerned and so worried. I want people to stay on top of it.
All right, well, that's important. And it's ironic because over the last day or two, I've had a couple friends call me, and they say that they feel like they're coming down with a virus.
Yep.
And they say they've never felt it like this before, and it's fast.
Yes, it is. It moves very fast, but it lingers, and it hits the stomach and the chest area. Okay, and you are like drained immediately, and it's like there's no fight in you to fight this. And like I said, it's not responding well to the drugs that are going to be administered.
And
I'm very concerned about this.
And they always say young people, older people really get affected when something like this hits.
Well, this one is indiscriminate. In other words, it's going to hit anybody at any age. It's not going to just hit the children, and it's not going to just hit the elderly or the people that are weakened immune system. No, not this one.
Everyone's in the way.
Yep. And what adds to it, honey, is we're going to have record-breaking snowfalls. There's going to be whiteouts. There's going to be power outages. There's going to be, again, planes being delayed, people being stranded. And to top it off, you're going to have a deep freeze. You're going to have, again, record-breaking cold temperatures that is going to cost people lives if they try to stay warm. So the temperatures are going to cause many deaths. This is going to be one hell of a deep freeze that is going to grab a few states and really grip it. And then you're going to have to be careful of what I'm seeing as ice storms.
Oh, those are the worst.
Okay.
The worst.
And that also is going to be making everything a traveling nightmare.
And we saw what happened on Thanksgiving and a few days before that. That could have been a disaster for people. It got better on Thanksgiving, but prior to that, it was a mess.
It was a mess. And I put that on my Facebook about 3 weeks ago. That one I called, as well as that 65-car pileup.
In Massachusetts,
on the interstate. Yeah. That's on my website, on my face page. I put those out because forewarned is forearmed, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree. When you get these feelings, how do they come to you?
Well, sometimes it's feelings, but most of the time it's like you're watching a trailer, a snippet, and you're seeing what's happening in action. And then you have to decipher, where is it, how long is it, what is it about, that kind of thing. So it's like a movie screen that you are watching. It's like a movie trailer, and you get snippets of it.
So
I'm sorry.
I was going to say it's like a trailer, and you just had said that, where, it's just like the little movie is right out in front of you.
That's right. And there's going to be, I'm sorry to say, a whole lot of shaking going on. I'm talking about not just earthquakes here in the United States and elsewhere, but I'm talking an accelerated volcanic eruption.
So you see an angry planet next year.
I deal with the elements every single night, and it seems that the elements are in full force, and they want to be destructive. So here we're going to have all this snow and all this deep freeze cold. Then we're having the shaking going on. You think enough is enough. No, you got a summer heat wave that will be killer.
Oh, gosh.
That will also hit several states and grab it in its fist.
So we're going to get the worst of the seasons.
Yep. And we were very lucky this year as far as hurricanes were concerned. Not so next year. I'm very worried again about, from, I'd say, Florida down to Texas, flooding. So we do not have a good year starting now. Right now. It actually started a couple of weeks ago, and it will continue. That's why when I took a look at it, I said, my God, we're getting hit from the left and the right. You can't take a breath without something else, like a hammer.
And it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
All right. Weather is now. Can we change any of this? We really can't. can we?
Not really. The only thing you can is if you had a mass amount of people that at a particular time, okay, collectively,
the collective
try to diminish, okay, that which is about to take place. That can happen. But you'd need a lot of people doing it all at the same time, and you'd have to have somebody directing it. But yeah, you can diminish some of it. You can't get rid of it all, but you can certainly save a lot of lives.
Do you see anything worldwide with political strife in wars?
Well, that's all part of the economy, babe. And I do feel I'm worried about North Korea. Okay, I'm worried about Israel. But as far as here in the United States, another one of my concerns, if you have had your 50th birthday and you get laid off, over 60% of those people will not only have to take a cut in pay, their lifestyle will change.
Dramatically.
Very dramatically. Some will have to reinvent themselves. Others will have to move from another city or another state. This is not good. It's like there is this hammer that I see coming down. If you have hit the 50th birthday and all of a sudden you get laid off, this is not good.
It's got to be so difficult for people at that age, Evelyn. You know,
yeah, because they still have 15, 18 years, okay, of work in front of them. And
yeah.
Their lifestyle is going to change. That which they believe they could provide for is not going to be there. And they're going to have to take a cut in salaries. I don't like the jobs that are being lost. There are more jobs that are being lost, not gained. I don't want to hear about this 180,000 people got a job. Tell me about the 11 million that are still looking and the more that are coming that are going to be laid off.
That's a good point. And like you say, the 50-year-old, you know, is making a much higher salary than someone else, younger, the business wants to save money, right?
So they can hire two for the price of him.
Yeah, or just the one at half.
That's right. And that's what's going to happen. Now we're going to also have to see, and I think everybody's been prepared for this, there will be a stock market correction before spring.
A big one?
I see about 2 to 2.5%, which isn't small.
Well, that's not small. At 15,000, that's a pretty good bump. Maybe maybe even more, Evelyn. My God.
Well, I want to play it safe and say right there, the last time I almost got chewed up alive when I said that the Dow, this was in 08, was going to drop down to 7,000. People were going to hang me. And then it happened.
It sure did.
So this time I'm going to be a little bit more cautious and not get people angry with me and say 2 to 2.5% in spring or before spring, there is a correction.
They're not supposed to kill the messenger.
They try. But a few people did stick up for me. Thank you, God. One thing I do see that is bright, and I know this may sound funny, but the housing market is still a good investment.
Ah, so a little bright news here.
Yes, because there is still good selection of home inventory, and the interest rates are still low. This is a buyer's market, and the interest rates will rise next year, and so will the prices of homes. So now, if you've got the money, whether you're doing it just to upgrade your own home or as an investment, that's a plus.
That you like.
Yeah. And I also like, as far as where are the jobs, right? The jobs are coming from construction and rebuilding.
But you got to be qualified to do that. Not everybody can pick up a hammer and go to work.
No, but the skilled laborer is going to be in demand.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Okay, with all of the damage that has been done to homes and businesses and roads and bridges that are going to have to be repaired, that at least, okay, is going to contribute to some people having a good paycheck. like I said, too many others are losing their job. At least this is a little bit, even though it's the wrong way, it's out of a tragedy. But at least those people will have a chance, okay, to make a decent dollar.
What do you see about the internet continuing to be robust?
Oh, yes, very much so. And gold and silver is still one hell of an investment.
You like that? Okay.
Yes, I do. But what I am worried about is there is going to be some protests. And again, I'm picking up spring and summer, but some of these protests are going to turn real ugly.
Oh, really? Protests here in this country?
In this country, in the United States.
Okay.
Spring, summer, there's going to be some kind of outbreak of protests. In the beginning, it's okay, but then it turns ugly. Now, I don't know if somebody instigates it or sabotages it and turns it ugly, but very definitely. And I think because of the frustration and the desperation of what people are going through, the misery, you're going to see a lot of people who are borderline mentally. I call them the crazies. There's going to be more of those kinds of people who are going to want to go on killing sprees and take as many people with them as possible.
They had in the St. Louis area, Evelyn, a guy went into a jeweler, and he said, hey, I'd like to see that Rolex watch. I want to try that on. And they went, sure. They gave it to him. He ran out the door. And
yeah.
He was chased. He escaped. The police got him in a high-speed chase. They arrested a friend who was out there in the car waiting for him. The watch they got, it was valued at $34,000. In this economy, more people are doing really whacked-out things, aren't they?
Yeah, because of the misery, the desperateness. That's what is causing it. It's like they're coming unglued. Everybody keeps waiting for the hammer to fall. The hammer's been falling. And certain people who have been going through this desperateness are now snapping.
They are snapping. You're right about
that. Now, there is one thing, and thank goodness I know that it's going to be stopped. But you're going to have a lone wolf, and we're always worried about those. But this time, the target, okay, isn't a school or a college or even a shopping mall. This time the targets are politicians.
That's not good.
And so to me, I think it's going to be thwarted. I think it's going to be stopped, but I know we're going to hear about it.
Boy, was she spot on. More to come on Coast to Coast AM. Debbie Ford passed away February 2013, recognized expert in the field of personal transformation. She passed away way too early. Debbie, I can't believe it's been 6 years since you were last on.
Six years.
Almost to the day.
Wow. I remember where I was.
6 years. So what are you doing in between?
Oh, my God. I think I wrote 4 books and did a film on The Shadow. I've been just laying around, George. Nothing too much.
Yeah, you're always working, aren't you?
Well, there's, as you know, a lot of people with their dark sides blowing up, and I think you just spoke to it, where we can't even speak our truth anymore without people going crazy.
Yeah, you're right, Debbie. Let's talk. You're on with us 3 hours tonight, so let's have some great information here. What is, in your opinion, the dark side?
Well, the dark side that I teach and talk about is the parts of ourselves that we deny and hide and suppress. The great Swiss psychologist said, you know, our shadow self is a person we'd rather not be. So it's the things we see in other people that push our buttons and make us angry and all the stuff that we want to say, I'm not that, I'm not that, I would never be that. That is our personal dark side.
You know, I have always looked at people from the good side. And I've looked at what they do on the dark side. And sometimes, Debbie, it seems that they have a very difficult time trying to break away from the dark side. They put clouds over their heads. They're not happy. Are they born that way? What does this to them?
Yeah, I don't think we're born like that, although I guess there are, you know, we always have dark creatures, you know, that we can all project on over the years. But, you know, I think that what happens is that, you know, we are told, don't be like that, don't be angry, don't be selfish, don't be a liar, don't be mean. And what we don't understand is when we're young, we start to hide and suppress these aspects of ourselves. And, you know, by the age of 25, most people have wrapped themselves up in a persona, so they no longer really know who they are, because so many aspects of ourselves as a human being are unacceptable. And, you know, they're unacceptable in society, and every family has their particular, you know, dark side shadows that you shouldn't be. You know, maybe you shouldn't be too loud, so your family tells you to be quiet, so then you have to, you know, hide your voice. Maybe they tell you, you know, you shouldn't be creative or artsy because somebody will, you know, those kind of people are stupid, so you have to hide your creative part. So, you know, as we get older and older, we hide more and more aspects of ourselves until we become this person that, you know, there's a metaphor that we're this great, magnificent castle when we're born. We have all these qualities, all these aspects, both the dark and light, and that most people, by the time they're 30, they think they're a, you know, two-bedroom house that needs work.
In your film, The Shadow Effect, and we'll get into what that means, you talk about how these dark sides affect your emotions, how they affect your careers, how they affect your love life. What happens when our leaders are subjected to their dark side? Do they lead us all down the crevice?
Yes, I mean, that's exactly it, and we're seeing it, and we're feeling it. I mean, we are right now have been taken over by the collective, you know, dark shadows of the world, where we don't know when somebody's telling us the truth. We don't know when people, they don't know themselves when they're telling the truth or when they're lying. And so I think that it's so imperative. I feel like it's the year of the shadow, like people are ready to hear it. We were in this 7-year stage of pop psychology, you know, just think a good thought, everything will be fine. But, you know, when we gave up our responsibility for all of us to make sure that, you know, we're taken care of, you know, when we give it to these public officials, you know, they're just expressing their own shadows. And one of the shadows, one of the dark sides of people in politics, if you study them, is their powerlessness and the shame that they have around being unimportant. And see, if that's a shadow, if we feel unimportant, what are we going to do? We're going to strive as we get older to find something to do that makes us important. Or if we feel like we're powerless when we're kids or we're insignificant, we might strive to get in a position of power. And so then what happens, I describe the shadow, you know, our dark side and the shadow effect, like a beach ball. If you hold a beach ball underwater, and you, we've all done that in the ocean, you know, what happens when you look away? When you don't pay attention to holding that beach ball down, it pops up and hits you in the face.
That's
and this
right.
is what we see with all these public officials and what's going on in our economy and these corporations, that all these shadows are popping up, but they're just not hitting that person in the face, right? We're all standing by and getting drenched and soaked in some of the probably worst times for people that we can imagine facing today.
Debbie, Hitler had a dark side, yet millions and millions of Germans followed him. How can they do that? Why do they do that?
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I was just writing and thinking about Hitler, because Hitler, what did he hate? You know, he hated the Jews. He wanted to create this beautiful society, right, of blonde-haired, blue-eyed creatures, and he was this ugly little man. And this is a great expression of the shadow. You know, he hated what he was. So what did he want to do? He wanted to wipe out anything that he considered, you know, imperfect, and to create this, you know, these humans that were an expression of what he wanted to be. And people do follow it because, you know, that's the way our world is, you know, made up. People don't know. Somebody stands up and they have this confidence. See, that's one of, I think, a big collective shadow is that people are so insecure. They don't trust themselves. They don't think they're smart enough. They don't think they can trust their intuition. So we're a world where we'll follow. If somebody stands up and they have a loud voice and they have a confident persona, you know, people will follow. I mean, we can, like, just look around, right, tonight and find people that are being followed that, you know, you think, how can anybody listen to that person? But we do.
Absolutely. Now, what do you mean by shadow in the shadow effect?
Well, the shadow, I'm just calling the Carl Jung term that made that term for the dark side. So, you know, it's the shadow. You know, we're all walking around. I mean, we can just think of that metaphor because we have shadows, right? And it's like we're trying to run. When we're a kid, we play with our shadows, right? There's nothing more fun than going and seeing your shadow and trying to play with it and dance with it. And as you get older, your shadow is that part of you that, you know, you don't want anybody to see. You want to get rid of it. And so these shadows that we hide, these parts of ourselves that we are ashamed of, that we're embarrassed of, we will do anything, including shut down our creativity and get into addictions. I mean, what is addiction? Addiction is sourced from, you know, this level, and I went through addiction, so I understand it quite well, is, you know, just hating parts of who you are. You don't feel good in your own body. And so when you're trying to suppress all these aspects and all these uncomfortable feelings because we have a system that teaches us that you should just feel good, I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, all we have to do is watch a baby. And we know what it is to be human. One minute they're laughing. One minute they're sleeping so peaceful. You've never seen anything like it. The next minute, what are they doing? They're crying. Yeah. After that, they go to another. They're smiling. And then they're screaming. And, you know, we have all these human emotions, and we're not teaching our children how to express them and where they might actually have some good use.
Debbie, does dark side necessarily mean evil? Now, we've seen evil, of course, with people who are in the dark side, but does it mean evil?
I don't think so. I mean, not in my business. We don't think of it as evil. We think it is as human. You know, we all have whatever those qualities are. You know, I love this, to think of it like this, George. You know, would we know sunshine if we didn't know darkness? You know, we don't know, we wouldn't know light if we didn't know darkness.
Nope.
Would we know courage if we never knew fear? We need them, we need both those qualities. Would we know love if we didn't know hate or meanness? That's how humans know. Humans can see and understand through contrast. And so the dark side is anything that we deem dark, you know, or inappropriate,
sure,
or we're disgusted by. And where did we learn that? Somebody teased us. They said, you're a baby, or you're stupid, or, you know, you're whatever they called you. And that becomes this shadowy part of ourselves that we hate.
Are people born with a dark side, or is it developed then?
Well, I think that, I mean, in my opinion now, after teaching this for, you know, almost 20 years, I think there are qualities that we're here to, I want to say, kind of work with or struggle with in this lifetime, you know, that we do have a tendency towards certain shadowy qualities, but I think most of them are learned. We learned them just like this. I always go in front of a room and I'm like, how many of you said you didn't want to grow up to be like your mother or your father? What do you think? 90% of the people raise their hand, maybe 95%. And then I ask them, as you get older, how many of you are, you know, seeing those parts of you coming up?
That's right.
Right?
It
they
does.
Come
it
up.
Happens.
And so in my business, you either deal with the shadow or the shadow deals with you.
Let's talk about some examples of the shadow effect that you see in our culture today. Including some of the work you do with your blog.
I'd love to talk about a story that's in the shadow effect, Eliot Spitzer, because he's such a great example of this.
Mm-hmm.
So here it is, the governor of New York. Looks like he has it all, right? He's got this whole beautiful political future in front of him.
Presidential contender one day at that time.
At that time, right? I mean, everybody, you know, even the people that hated him, at least, you know, looked up to him in some ways. And here he is on the streets trying to clean up prostitution, right? He was so hardcore about it. It had to be gone. It had to be gone. And then what does he do? He gets busted for the very thing that he's trying to get rid of.
Yep.
And that's how the shadow works. That's the beach ball effect and perfect. If we look at it through the eyes of the shadow, George, we would say that we would suggest that sometime, maybe when he was in his 20s, who knows, maybe before, he had the impulse, as do many men, to sleep with a hooker or go out with a call girl or something, right? It's natural for many, many men. And he hid it because it was socially incorrect in his family and politically incorrect. So we take this part of us, we have this impulse, we don't know where these impulses come from, right? And we then all of a sudden we got to get rid of it. And so he wraps himself up in this really good boy package, but he goes out, he's driven to get rid of it in the outer world because really he's trying to destroy this impulse that's in the inner world. Now I'm sure it wasn't conscious that he was doing this, but that's why we could see Reverend Ted Hagar, a great example, right? He's screaming about gays and putting down gays and going off on everybody. And then what do? We find him, you know, again, in a gay, having a gay relationship. So we always have to watch it when we're really righteous because it's driven by our shadows. It's so fascinating. And what I have learned over these years is that these grand acts of self-sabotage are our unconscious way, really, of doing some healing in our inner world.
It's like they want to get caught, Debbie.
Exactly. And unconsciously, they do want to get caught because everybody wants to return to this authentic place. And most of us cannot get there unless we bottom out in one way or the other.
But do they stop? Do these shadows go away? Do these dark clouds go away when they get caught or when they do something like this? You would expect them to, you know, begin to march to a different tune, but do they?
Well, some of them do. The people that do the work do. You know, that the people that go inside or, you know, sometimes these big public acts of shame are actually great for people because they have to get help, right? They're about to destroy, their whole world falls apart. And so we see it often that people can heal it. I mean, I work with people that, you know, their shadows may not be that big or they're not in public, but they wind up cheating on their wife or they're overspending or, you know, they're on the same diet for 25 years. You know, that in itself becomes this shadowy life where you're pretending everything's great and you're going to work and you're going home and you're self-loathing all the time and you're miserable. So the process is, George, is to first unconceal, and we can do it later in the show if you want. I've got a couple of shadow tricks. You know, to really unconceal the shadows and the dark side that's lurking around that you're scared of. I mean, ultimately, in my processes, when people do workshops or read my books, what you're going to find out is that you are your own worst nightmare. So you better learn how to accept it and embrace it. And when I mean embrace it, it doesn't mean to go act it out. And I'll tell you one of my shadow stories later, so you'll really get it. But to make peace with it, to learn to have compassion for your human aspect. Because if you don't have compassion for your flaws and for your impulses and for your own imperfections, you have to wrap yourself up in some arrogance. And arrogance is the feeding ground for self-sabotage.
You say that the tragedy of Michael Jackson was shrouded with the shadow effect. How so? What happened?
Because here it is. I mean, the king of pop, the man has everything. And here it is. And I'll tell you an interesting story with me and Michael Jackson. Here it is. I mean, right there, he has got all these people around him that know he's killing himself. They know he's addicted to drugs. And because he just kept making his world smaller and smaller and smaller, which is what we do when our shadow's running amok. So we don't let people in that are healthy that will give us good feedback, right? You get away from your family, you get away from the people you love, because if you're all alone and you just have people working for you that basically will do, you know, anything you want because you're paying them a lot of money, you know, your shadow gets to, you know, take the lead. And this is what this happened. You know, one of the things that happened, like, about 8 years ago, somebody called me to work with Michael Jackson. And I was all ready, and I was really excited because mm-hmm. I really did believe that I could help this man.
And was the call to help him, or was it for something? Okay.
Yes, it was to help him, to kind of help him wrestle. They had read The Dark Side of the Light Chasers and another one of my books and just thought, you know, Debbie can help them. They called me up. I said yes. I had the whole thing planned. And at the last minute, I had this feeling, and I called the person that had, you know, scheduled the whole, I was going to spend a day with them, the day retreat. I said, you know, I want to make sure that I can be alone with Michael. Nobody can be in the room, because I knew there's no way he's going to discuss the things that I needed him to discuss to do the process.
Not with other people around.
With other people. And you know what? They called me back and canceled.
Debbie Ford passed away way too early. We'll be back with two more guests on Coast to Coast AM.